If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The meat to live is Christ. The meat to die is gain. Every moment in between, there'll be joy and there'll be pain. I can't worry about the future or change a thing about my past. I've got this moment to believe, and I'm gonna make it last. I am fed. To be emptied.
This is Pastor Michael Rogers from The Jar at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Thank you for listening to our broadcast today.
I remember being about 21, 22 years old and sitting on the front porch of my an apartment that my sister and I had just moved into in New Albany, Indiana. And we were sitting, we'd been working all day trying to get that thing the way we wanted it, because it was not in very good shape when we moved in. And we then just kind of cleaned it and got ourselves ready to make it our own, put some pictures up and stuff. And we had walked out onto the porch and sat down. And I looked up and I saw the moon, but it was still just before dark. And right below the moon was this line of clouds that was as black as night. And they were heading our way. And I watched it slowly just cover up the moon and cover up the sky, and watched it just coming toward us. And I thought, oh my goodness, no wonder people who had not yet met the one true God looked up at something like that and thought, there is power in that and I don't understand it. Because all of a sudden lightning started coming out of it, and you could hear the rain way before it actually started. And that storm just swept up over us. And we were comfortable on the porch, and the rain was everywhere. It wasn't affecting us. It was just there all in front of us. But I can't tell you the power that it felt like oh, the air was electric. And as it washed over us, I remember just thinking, If I'm ever gifted enough to write, I want to write that scene. I want to write how that looked. And I've never been able to do it to my satisfaction, exactly what I saw that night. You know, sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. We actually see the storm coming. And we know that right now the moon is out and there's a little bit of light, but it's coming. And as it starts getting closer and closer, we get that sense of dread, and the air is electric with all of the tension and stress that's going to come with it. And all of the things that could go wrong start running in our heads, and we start losing more and more sleep each night as we're waiting for it to come. And the anticipation of that storm sometimes is as bad or worse than when it actually breaks out. Because a lot of times those storms are coming because there's decisions we've made along the way that help to bring it about. And we now know there's going to be consequences to us changing the air pressure the way that we did. And sometimes once it washes through, what we find is the storm was the best thing for us. But we didn't know that when it was coming. Sometimes storms surprise us. Sometimes storms just come out of nowhere and all of a sudden you're in it. So at the same time, I remember driving about 5 years later down a road. And we are driving, and all of a sudden, it's like we're driving toward a gray wall. And as we're driving toward that, we're like, what? We came around a corner in the interstate, what is that? And by the time we hit that wall, and it was rain, it was just crazy, just loud, thunderous on the roof. And it came from nowhere, popped up immediately, and all of a sudden, we were in it, and we just had to survive it. Life is like that too, isn't it? Sometimes the storm just breaks over us, and before we know what's going on, we are in the middle of it, and we are trying to hold on for dear life and survive. Well, today, we're going to talk about that kind of storm, happening to Jesus and the disciples. And when we do, we just need to recognize that the truth is that life is full of storms. So what we want you to do is consider today, really consider today, how is it that we can experience peace in the storms of life? Just consider that for a moment.
All right, we are going to be in Luke chapter 8 today. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 8 of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament. Yeah. Today we're going to be talking about a story that a lot of people know. Jesus calms the storm. We can find this story also in Matthew chapter 8 and Mark chapter 4. Mm-hmm. So it was that important that God wanted us to see this testimony, to hear this story. And as we were studying together, like, man, you could preach just on this story, like, for a month.
Yeah.
There's
three or four different sermons
full of stuff. Mm-hmm. But today we're going to focus on how do you find spiritual survival, right? Spiritual survival for the believer, for our hearts, mm-hmm. when life is full of storms. So we're going to be, like I said, in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 22. Verse 22. If you're there, say amen. Okay. We're going to look at, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and started out. Now, this lake is the Sea of Galilee. They call it the Sea of Galilee, but it's actually a lake. And we're going to talk about the lake a little bit here in a minute because it's important. But in all three accounts of this story, Jesus has been surrounded by crowds.
Yeah.
They have been pressing in on him on every side. He's been healing literally left and right of him.
Yeah.
And he's been pushed, not in a negative way, but just spiritually and emotionally and physically. I mean, he's been healing all these people and he is tired.
Yeah.
He's tired at this point. It's physically draining him of the healings and everything else that he's been doing.
Yeah, he was casting out demons. He was teaching quite a bit. He had a kind of a situation with his family that he went through, and this was a really rough day. And actually, in Mark it says, they put Jesus in the boat as he was. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, if you've been so tired that somebody has to direct you to where your bedroom is, they put Jesus in the boat as he was, and he was just exhausted. And you know, there's another place where he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." But he's been eating all day, and now he's tired. It's time to take a nap.
Yeah, and Mark tells us it was the evening time.
Yeah,
he actually mentions that in Mark, that it's evening. So it's been all day. We're going into the evening, which makes perfect sense for this storm to pop up, right? Think about it.
Right.
When we get to about 3, 4, 5, 6 in the evening, what happens? Yeah. Things start shifting, changing, and that's when storms arrive. So we know it's the evening time when this happens. So it also, Mark also says that there's also other boats with him as well. Mm-hmm. So it says, so they got into a boat and they started out. As they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap. He's tired. Mm-hmm. Settled down for a nap.
Yeah, Mark says he has a cushion and he's in the stern of the boat. He's in the back of the boat. They get him a pillow, lay him down, and he's out probably pretty quick.
But then it says, but soon a fierce storm came down on the lake. The boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger.
That's right.
They were afraid they were going to drown. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and suddenly the storm stopped, and all was calm. So I'm going to stop right there for now. So we're told the disciples were going to the other side of the lake, beginning in verse 22 that we just read. Jesus was with them in the boat, and they weren't sure if they were going to survive. But their survival was due to the fact that the presence of Jesus is in their vessel. So how can we experience peace in storms? The answer is simple. We must have Jesus in our boat. We must have Jesus in our boat. You know, many people are uncomfortable with Jesus in their boat, in their ship. Yeah. Many people want to run their ship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I know I'm one of them sometimes. I want to be the captain of my ship. And they don't want to answer to the captain. They don't want to take orders. They want to be at the helm and chart their own course. Survival. How can we endure through the storms of life? How can we survive the temptations to quit our faith? Right. How can we survive the pressures of everyday life? How can we survive a stormy marriage? How can we survive bad news that we're going to get? If you're hoping to go through life without pressure, without criticism, without temptations, without bad news, without tragedy, then you're living on another planet. You're not living on the same earth that I am, right? Because those things are going to happen. And to survive, we must know that Jesus is on board our ship.
Yeah. I would even say that throughout Scripture, what God shows us is that the storms still happen. There's no place in Scripture where suddenly the storm stopped for someone and now everything is fine and now you get to live your life however you want. Mm-hmm. If that's what you want from Christianity, God never promises that. Mm-hmm. What he promises is in the midst of that storm, he will be present. He will manifest his presence and in that save you.
Right. So we're going to talk about the advantages of having Jesus on board your ship, your boat.
Yeah.
Okay. First one is Jesus gives direction and purpose for this life on this planet.
Yeah.
Verse 22 says, let's cross to the other side. Let's cross to the other side. Many people live day to day with no sense of purpose, right? Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Romans 8:28 tells us all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And in this story, Jesus gave the disciples directions.
Yeah.
He didn't just say, let's get in the boat and chill out.
Yeah.
He said, let's get in the boat and head to the other side of the lake. We can look in the Bible and we can see that God gives us direction and a purpose for our living.
That's right.
You know, we have a purpose as a gathering of believers.
Mm.
Whether it's two people, whether it's 1,000 people. Right? Any kind of gathering, when we are gathering together right here in Ardmore, Oklahoma, or wherever community you're listening from or watching from, we are to be a light for Jesus.
Right.
We are to be an encouragement to one another. We have purpose. And you're going to hear us at the JAR tell you guys that all the time. Mm-hmm. Because the world tells us you don't matter. You don't mean very much. If you're not famous, if you're not this, if you're not that, you're not worth anything. And I'm here to rebuke that in the name of Jesus and tell you that each and every one of you who is sitting here right now has purpose. And that purpose is to be the light that God has asked you to be. And then we're going to talk about it more, even at the end, what your purpose is as that boat, that ship that you are in this life. In Jesus, I know why I am here. He has put me here for purpose. Second reason with Jesus on board, we're not only given direction and purpose in this life, but he gives us assurance of eternal life. That this isn't all that there is.
Yeah.
We're not just stuck here with the storms of life on this planet. There's more. There's eternal life.
And I think that this is... we have to be careful because there have been times when the church has been so focused on the eternal life that's promised to us that we haven't dealt with the purpose and direction of the life that we're in. And so I've always said if God really was interested in having perfect people, the only thing that he could do to make that happen is the minute they said yes to Jesus, the heavens open and the light comes down and you sprout wings and you go on up to heaven and then you're perfect. Because if God leaves us here and we're not perfect and we make mistakes, there are still storms and some of them are self-caused storms that happen in our lives even after we say yes to Jesus. But he does that because our mission is to show others the difference that God makes in our lives. So if they saw us go through storms before we knew him, and then they see us go through storms after we know him, we should see a difference. There should be a new level of peace. And part of that peace comes from the fact that we have 70, 80, 90, let's say 120 years to live on this earth and eternity to live with him. So the eternal life that he promises is still important. It's still the majority of the life that we're going to get to experience. But this short time on earth, sometimes, in certain situations, that's all we have to cling to, is what God is promised us, because what we're in is such a mess. Don't think that you have been forgotten by God or abandoned by God because you're in the middle of a mess. Instead, recognize He still has purpose and direction for your life right here. And your job is to find out what the next right thing is to do.
Think about it. When they got in that boat, was the storm already started?
Mm-mm.
It says the storm started after they got in the boat, and Jesus had given them a direction.
Yeah. And these are able-bodied fishermen. Four of them are able-bodied fishermen who have been on this lake before and probably been in the storm. And so the fact that they are scared tells us how bad the storm was. This isn't that they were overreacting to the storm. They actually had experience and knew what the storm should look like, and they were worried that they were going to get capsized.
Well, they
and
never
get
would
spent.
Have gotten in the boat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We would have seen it. He would have, right. They would have looked at him and said, "Master, there's a storm popping up. We're not getting
yeah,
in this boat."
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Right? That's how we know. And isn't that the same with us? When God gives us purpose and He gives us direction, some of us probably never would have done it.
Yeah,
if we had known
the storm that was coming.
The storm that was
yeah,
coming.
That's right.
Right?
That's
he would right. never said, turn to us and looked at us and said, move to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Where's Oklahoma? Right? And God said, I'm giving you direction. I'm giving you purpose.
Yeah.
I am giving you eternal life.
Yeah.
So no matter what the lake looks like, the lake of life, when you're in that boat and I am the captain and I'm giving you directions, whether a storm pops up or not, do it.
Yeah.
Be obedient and do it.
Right.
And the other thing is, He is the anchor that holds, isn't He?
Yes.
Jesus is the anchor that holds. Author Jerry Vine says this. In New Testament times, they say the harbors of some cities would have a sandbar just outside the harbor. If a boat got there when the tide was out and it couldn't get into the harbor, they would just take the anchor and throw it over into the harbor, over the sandbar. And it really didn't matter if the winds came and beat against the boat, because they understood that when the tide finally came in, the ship would follow the anchor right up to the harbor.
Mm, that's good.
Jesus is our anchor, right? He's over the sandbar. He's at the destination. And when life gets hard, we yank on that anchor.
Yeah, yeah.
We pray and we ask Jesus,
and
get me
honestly,
to the harbor.
I love the illustration because in a way it's not about yanking on the anchor, is it? It's about the anchor yanking on us.
Amen.
And
Amen.
A lot of times we are, right. I mean, these men, the reason they're scared is because they are thinking of their own prowess, their own expertise, their own ability to get out of this mess, and they realize that they can't do it. And sometimes we can yank on that anchor, but a lot of times that anchor is yanking on us and bringing us to the right place, even in the midst of our panic.
Hebrews 6:19. Do we have that to put up there?
Yeah.
This hope is Jesus. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary.
Yeah.
He brings us to the throne. We can rely on that anchor of hope. Also, 2 Timothy 1:12 says, I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him. We are kept by the power of God. And when we think of a storm, we automatically think of Noah. If anybody can survive a storm, it's Noah, and the entire earth was flooded, right?
Yeah.
What a storm they had to deal with. But Noah never had to worry about falling out of the boat, did he? He never had to worry about that. The Bible says, and those of you who've been with us this whole past year for 2024, remember, this time last year, we were talking about Noah.
Uh-huh.
It says God shut them in.
Yeah.
He shut the door to the ark. Can you imagine standing at the edge of the entrance to the ark, and it just automatically
just
starts closing by itself because God is literally shutting them in.
And sealing them in.
And I'm sure with all the waves, Noah and his family and the animals probably fell down many times of the rocking of that boat. Right? They probably fell down many times, but it was safe and secure. That's how we are too, right? Mm-hmm. When we get into storms and the bumps and the bruises and the scrapes along the way, our salvation is eternally secure. Jesus is our anchor.
Yeah.
God shut them in. He protected them. He sealed them in with the seal of protection. And when we say yes to Him, that's us too, right?
Yeah. Right. Now, for these disciples, though, they're not shut in. And they have to worry about being swept overboard or being capsized or any number of things. But at some point in their panic, they finally thought, you know what? Jesus has been healing people. He's been casting demons out. He's been showing all this power. We don't know what he'll do, but let's ask him. And finally, they get to Jesus and like, Master, Master. And there's one version that says, don't you care?
Mark.
Don't you care?
Yeah.
We're Mark perishing. That, yeah. So it isn't even that they're going to him and saying, Master, fix this for us. They're coming and saying, don't you care? We're perishing. And he gets up and Mark tells us, he says, peace, be still. And immediately the storm stops. The minute that they go to him, even if it's for the wrong reasons at the time, the response is, peace, be still.
Our storm can be a financial storm. Mm-hmm. You and I've been there. Mm-hmm. It can be a relationship storm, a storm of illness, heartache, or heartbreak.
Yeah.
Right? And just so you get a picture, too, of this lake, I told you I would tell you a little bit more about the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee actually had cold air, which would come down to the hills, which surrounded the natural basin. It actually is a basin of water, and it sits 600 feet below sea level.
Yeah.
So what happens is you've got the air that's at the where the lake is, and then you've got this cool air that's coming down over the mountains into this basin. And literally the waves, and still today, the waves can reach up to 20 feet high. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. 20 feet high. Can you imagine 20 feet high waves in this little bitty fishing boat? That gives you perspective, too.
Yeah.
You know, of how rocky and turbulent this water really was. And, you know, no, like Michael said before, notice just because Jesus is in the ship doesn't mean no storm didn't come. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, he could have stopped it before it ever started, and he didn't. And like Michael said, many believers or new believers think that storms are only going to come to the not yets or the people who don't believe. Yeah. And that's just simply not true. Yeah. It's life. But at the same time, though, our disobedience, like you said, can bring on that storm. I mean, you can literally be in the center of the will of God and be going through a tornado.
That's right. That's right.
That happens.
That's right.
It's happened to us.
Absolutely.
And you know, and so, or a hurricane or whatever the case may be. I mean, just look at Jonah. He was disobedient, right? And wound up in a storm. Mm-hmm. But so often storms are a way for God to make us stronger, like you said. And Jesus rises up. He calms the wind. The storm ceases. But the main storm Jesus was concerned about wasn't the storm, actual storm on the lake and the waves, the 20-foot waves, was it? He was actually concerned about the storm of fear in the hearts of the disciples.
That's good. Yeah.
The disciples saw the situation, the 20-foot waves, and not God. Yeah. Their eyes were seeing the storm. Yeah. Their eyes were not seeing the Lord who was with them. That's the storm we are really talking about here. This is the storm that Jesus wants us to understand from a heavenly perspective. We don't have to look at the circumstances we're in. We can just look to the Lord Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
Fear is looking at the storm. Faith is looking at the Savior. Fear is looking at the storm. Faith is looking at the Savior. Fear is looking at the circumstances, but faith is looking at God. Note verse 24. Jesus woke up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He didn't keep sleeping. He woke up, and some versions say he arose.
Mm.
He arose. Jesus did not sink. And it appears that for someone who's not a believer to be looking at this and going, well, he fell asleep at the helm. He fell asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be the captain. He fell asleep. Mm-mm. When trouble comes and he seems far away, like there is no longer any control and the storms of life hit hard, we will not be overtaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
He arose and he was awake. He woke up. Jesus is stronger. When Jesus is recognized as Savior and Lord in our ship, we can be sure of one thing. We are not going under. Hmm. We are going above. We will rise above and we will get to the destination. Whether it's here on this planet or whether it's up there in heaven, we're going to get to that destination.
So we started out talking about peace. And peace in the scripture does not mean a lack of conflict. What peace means in scripture is wholeness, that I feel whole. In the middle of everything that's happening, I still feel whole. I am able to survive this process because I can be whole even if the storm is raging all around me. And they had a tough time believing that, the disciples did, because they still were learning who Jesus was. Remember, he hasn't sent them out yet. They don't know that they're going to have a chance to cast out the demons as well. They don't know they're going to get a chance to be part of healing opportunities and those kinds of things. Well, all they know is they've thrown their lot in with this man, and they have said he's the Messiah, but they still don't even know what that means. Jesus spends, a lot of people say in Luke 8 is where Jesus shows his power over everything. His power over the supernatural by casting out demons. His power over the human body by healing. His power in relationships by bringing women along with him at the very beginning of the chapter, which would have been absolutely crazy before in that time. And also by saying, I love my mom and my brothers and sisters, but these are my brothers and sisters. He's showing his power over every kind of situation, and here he gets to show his power over nature. That's new for the disciples. They didn't know that he had this in him. So their response after being scared of the storm is being scared of Jesus. They were terrified and in awe. It says both. They had both phobos, fear, and awe, amazement. Because they recognize that, wait a minute, who are we following?
Well, and that word rebuked there. Yeah. It's not like he calmly stood up and said, be quiet, be still.
Yeah, yeah.
He rebuked it.
Yeah.
He rebuked the storm. You are not going to mess with my boys, and you are not going to mess with me. And I'll share something with you just real quick. I didn't have this planned, but a couple weeks ago, some of you prayed for me. I had some issues. I had a storm pop up in my workplace. And literally within 3 days after you all praying and I prayed about it, literally it was resolved. And I came to Michael and I said, my God went, don't mess with my girl. Don't mess with my daughter.
That's right.
She's mine.
Yeah.
And don't be rocking the boat.
That's right.
And that's what Jesus does here. He rebuked it.
Right.
Leave my boys alone.
That's right. So the lesson
there
is...
That would make me scared too.
Yeah, me too. Jesus gives stability through all of life, whether it's this life or the next. That fact that Jesus has manifested his presence in your life means that you now can go calmly through whatever is happening, and you don't have to stress out. You don't have to panic. You don't have to lose sleep. What you can do is say, my God's got this. I just don't know how yet. I have no idea how. It looks impossible. But if he can do this, then he can take care of this. And oftentimes, when he brings us through storms, it's because later, either we're going to go through a storm and we need to know that he will be there, or we're going to be with someone going through a storm and we will be able to testify and let them know our God is with you. That it's
possible. Psalm 107:24 tells us that in the deep waters, we see God's power at work.
Yes. Yeah.
We see God's power at work.
Yeah.
And I love, not only were they terrified, right, in verse 26?
Yeah. 25.
The disciples were terrified, but they were also what? Amazed.
Amazed, yeah.
Who is this man?
Who is this
man? Who are we following? We thought we knew him, but he just took it to the next level.
Even the wind and waves obey him.
And they asked each other. I love it. I love how it says it.
Hey.
Dude,
wait.
What just happened? Right? They're turning and asking each other.
Who is that guy?
Dude, yo, bro. What just happened?
One of my all-time feel-good movies is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, and I always think of that because through a 20-minute chase scene, they keep saying, who are those guys? And that's what they're doing. Like, who is this guy? About every 2 weeks to be like, okay, he can do that too. Who is this guy? Mm-hmm. And over and over again, listen, that is true in your life as well. If you are not experiencing this Jesus, it's because you are afraid to let him in close enough for him to show himself to you. It is so often the truth. I used to worry about people saying I had rose-colored glasses because every time I'd see a good thing, I say, oh, there's God. But it tells me in Scripture, and I have to decide whether or not I believe it, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. If it does, then every single good thing that ever happens to me is because of him. You may be the vehicle he uses to bless me, thank you very much, but it's still him. And if I believe that, then I also have to recognize that every terrible thing that happens is not from him. He's not making things happen in our lives so that we can learn these lessons. What he is doing is he's allowing us to live our lives, knowing that not only will our free will choices, but the free will choices of others and the nature of a fallen world will sometimes create those storms. There's going to be turbulence sometimes because your bodies are going to be passing away. You have mortal bodies. There's going to be turbulence sometimes because relationships pass away. People don't treat you right. You don't treat people right. It happens. But in the middle of all those storms, you can have that stability in life because the Prince of Peace. He's not just the author of peace. He's the Prince of Peace, and he has promised to be with you. Don't get me started.
When Jesus is on board, we know who this Jesus is.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in what?
Everything. Every situation. Everything.
By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends, I love that word, transcends. That's why I picked the NIV, because I like it. Yeah. Transcends all understanding. Will do what? Guard. Will guard your hearts. And what else? Your mind.
Yeah.
In Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious. Now listen.
Yeah, capture it.
Anxiety happens. Fear happens. You're human.
Right.
God gave us those emotions. We feel them for a reason.
Yeah, they're the red lights on our dashboard that say something's wrong.
But when the anxiety becomes so overwhelming that you no longer are thankful, and you can no longer talk to God, first of all, you can if you have the Holy Spirit within you. He'll speak for you. That's okay.
Yes.
But when you're so overwhelmed that you can't be thankful and you don't have the peace of God. The peace of God is not the same as an earthly peace. The peace of God transcends all understanding.
That's right. That's right.
I've lived that. When my daddy had his first major heart attack, we almost lost him. He was in ICU for 5 days before they could touch his heart.
Six bypasses.
That is my testimony that I always share about transcending all understanding. He should have been dead. The cardiologist came to us and he said the only reason he is alive is because he is one of those certain percentage of people, when they have a massive heart attack, the heart will actually grow an extra vessel that allows the blood to
flow. Around the blockage.
Around the blockage, and that's what kept him alive.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
My God touched my daddy in that moment and a vessel grew in his heart. I am a firm believer of that. And while he was in ICU through the weekend, waiting for his bypass surgery, which we weren't sure he was going to make it or not, I understood that. I had a peace. There was peace. Now, there were moments when I lost it.
Yeah.
There were moments when I cried. I was scared. I was scared. I was 20-something years old. I was pregnant. I was pregnant with our second child.
Yeah, he calls our...
I was 4 months pregnant with Anna.
He called our oldest daughter his blonde-haired, blue-eyed wonder. And his whole purpose in getting past the surgery was to meet her.
That's right. I was 4 months pregnant. Anna, she's not like this anymore, but just real quick, Anna was probably our quietest baby of the four. She came out very quiet, hardly made a sound.
Yeah.
And the first 4 months I was pregnant with her, I really didn't feel her. I hadn't really felt her yet. Like, I felt flutters, but I hadn't really felt her move. We were at the hospital in the ICU waiting area with my family, and I felt her move for the very first time.
Yeah.
I had a peace that transcended all understanding. And my favorite picture and my favorite video of the hospital with Anna is my dad was videotaping our oldest.
We gave him the camera. It was not
very bright.
To see
Anna, and he couldn't hold the camera steady. He was crying and shaking.
He's crying, so it
looks
like this.
Because he was so proud that he was still with us to hold her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because that was his whole purpose, was to see his granddaughter be born. Okay? But it's that peace that transcends all understanding and will guard your hearts The Lord of the universe, he guards your heart.
Yeah. So if your heart feels attacked, pray, give thanks, present your requests. If your mind can't rest, pray, give thanks, present your requests. It's very simple. Now, does that mean that it is going to just automatically happen? For some of us, it does. And the better we get at trusting him, the more it will happen. But if it doesn't happen right away, don't let your circumstance, how you're feeling right now, override the truth of what God told you is true. And you say, I know I feel this anxiety right now, but my God promised that he would guard my heart. I know that I am having a hard time sleeping right now, but my God promised that he would guard my mind. And when you approach it that way, you don't have rose-colored glasses on. You are looking for every good and perfect gift that your Father has prepared for you. And that is worth the peace that you get.
So let's bring it back around. Right. So our B for today is be the first mate, not the captain. Be the first mate, not the captain. The first mate reports directly to the captain. Mm-hmm. He is responsible for the cargo that the ship holds. And listen, God gave this to me when I was studying. Yeah. So good. Yeah. I looked up what you call the first mate. It's called the first mate. They also, there's another word term for it. I can't remember.
Boatswain or bosun.
Yeah. But the first mate, that's you and me, is responsible for the cargo that the ship holds. The quality and the security of the cargo. That cargo is the Holy Spirit and your spirit working together for the kingdom of God. That is the cargo that you are responsible for and the purpose and direction that God has given you. That cargo is the good news of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is our purpose.
Come on, preach.
Be the first mate.
Yes.
Not the captain. Guard the cargo. Make it secure.
Yeah.
Spread the word. Jesus is our leader. He leads us where we go through the good and the bad. Jesus is still in charge. And what do? We follow.
Yes.
Remember the prayer I said right before we started? Lord, it is a blessing that we follow you.
Yes.
Right? It's not about a set of rules. It's about following who he was and who we can become. The cargo that we hold, and he holds it all together. So we can experience peace in the storm because with Jesus in our ship or our boat, whatever the case you want to call it to be, we are given direction and purpose, assurance of eternal life, stability through this life, and we know who this Jesus is. And that word know there is joy. Joy is knowing. Who is the captain of your storms?
Mm.
And if you know the answer, have you forgotten? Did you grab the helm? And now he's back here in the bottom of the boat on the cushion? Or are you letting him hold on to the helm and be the captain of your boat?
Amen.
And of your cargo.
Amen. We're going to come into a time of reflection, and our hope is that whatever is, you either just came out of a storm, you're in a storm, or you're heading for a storm. It's just true. So what we want to do is prepare you. If you are not in a storm right now, we want you to reflect on how God can prepare you for the storm when it comes, because it's coming. If you're in the middle of the storm, then we want you to know not only is Jesus in that boat with you, but so are we. And we would be glad to pray with you and walk with you through that process of that storm. So we want you to know that. And if you are just coming out of a storm, then we want to praise God with you. And we want to hear your testimony, and we want to know how God worked inside of your storm, because we believe with all of our hearts that if you do that, if you share it with us, there's going to come a time not only when you have a chance to share that with someone, but we may have a chance to share. We know someone who just went through this storm, and this is how God helped them. And that is how the church becomes the called out ones and begins to complete the mission to reach others for Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Jar with Pastors Michael and Carrie Rogers. If you're a believer in Christ looking for an opportunity to learn how to be a disciple maker, come see us at 702 H Street Northeast in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Our regular gatherings start on Sundays at 4 p.m., so you can still make it to see us today. Hope to see you soon.
quiet. To be empty.